Okay, so let's start with the Gemara. First page. So that's pretty straightforward. Tanya, Omer Meir Minayin L'Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah. How do we know that Tchias HaMesim, where do you see in the Torah that Tchias HaMesim is going to take place? Hashemar Oz Yashem Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Sashiro HaZois L'Hashem. So Oz, so translate the Pasuk. Then Moshe Kleisel will sing the Shir. Right, so it's Yashir, they will sing. Shorlo Nemar, that doesn't say that they sang, El Yashir, they will sing. Mekal Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. So that indicates that Tchias HaMesim will take place. Moshe and Kleisel will say the Shira again. The post is telling us that they will say the Shira. In the future, they will say it again. The Moor says a similar Joshua Mishu ben Levi, Menal Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, Shemar, Asher Yishav Esecha, Oda Alucha Sela, Hilalucha, Loinemar El Yihalalucha, Mekal Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. That they will be mahalayu again. Now, those which were Yoshev and Meisecha will be mahalayu again. They will, right? So that's not as clear, because maybe they'll be mahalayu tomorrow. Right? How do you know? But at the end of the day, we have an individual, which the more is Mimalama, that there's such and such an idea. But here it's clear, the Moshe, and they didn't sing it again. We know they didn't sing it again in the 40 years. So, but plus they're going to sing it again. Must be it's going to be in the future. So that's how you know Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. Now, the truth is, I to get the real feel of the sugya, you have to go through all of the Gemara. The Gemara brings multiple different sources how you know Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. All of them are fairly similar to this one. It means they're not explicit. Right? You know, if I would want to find a source in the Torah where the Torah would talk about Tchias HaMesim, I would, you know, if I was, you know, you would say the pasuk says, you know, you have a pasuk in the Neil, your kitzi ran or shechli offer. Like that, you know, that's almost the most explicit one you get. And we wait till safer than Neil. The pasuk says, your kitzi we ran or shechli offer. They will awaken those which are lying in the dirt, will awaken and sing. That's pretty clear. We have to wait till the Neil to tell us that. You know, like, you know, till then it's like these ramazim. Number one. Number two, why here? Why is it here? Like, why is Parsons B'Shalach the place? Right? At the time of Shiras Hayam, that's where we're going to be Murnamas Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. If out of all the drushes, I can't say I went through all of them, as far as I can tell, through all of the drushes, this is probably the earliest place in the Torah that there's this indication of. So it means here we are, and there's some reason why it's here. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. Next page is the Mishnah. Do it out of order, yeah. So, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelkolam Habo, Shem Ramech, I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. You know, so you're not going to be Chelkolam Habo. A person says Ein Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah. Okay, so it means he's not denying Tchias HaMesim. He says there's no place that is indicated in the Torah. Right. So look at Rashi. He doesn't accept all these drushes which we're going to bring. He doesn't accept any of them. He says, you know, there's probably about 12, 15 drushes the Mor gives different sources. All of them not so clear. And he says, you know, I don't like those drushes. I don't like them. This is, you know, I believe in it. It's going to happen. There's no psukim which indicate it. All right? So, Menat Chis Mesim in HaTorah, etc. He says, there's no place which is indicated in the Torah that such a thing exists. He's a denier, as a Rashi. Since he's uprooting the concepts from the Torah. Who cares? He believes it. I believe, you know, Shkoyach, you know. My share one time made fun of me. I was, you know, gave him like a fiery drush by a certain, he says, Rabbi, I believe! Like, you know, like, you know, now what? Okay, Shkoyach, like, you know. Mechimehechen, who you deyah, Shekenu, where'd he get it from? Hilchot Kafir Gomer, he has the status of a Kafir Rashi. He says, even though he believes, but if he's making up out of the air, not because it's the Torah is saying this, that's not acceptable. Okay, so he loses alam hab. Just like, you know, actually, you should really see the feed of this first piece of Gemara, just the little first piece of Gemara. Look, on that page right there, right after the Mishnah. We call Kachlama. So why? So why does he lose Elam Haba? Because he's Tana. The more the Bryce says, who covered Betchias Amesim? Lo Yilu Chelik Betchias Amesim. She called me the Sushal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mina Kenega Mina. It's fair, right? The Bryce deals Mina Kenega Mina. So he's denying Betchias Amesim. He doesn't get Betchias Amesim. So we'll see that later on. The Ramban says you see that Elam Haba Betchias Amesim are being used interchangeably over here. Commission says Elul Chelim Chelik Elam Haba. And the Morris says because he denies Tchias HaMesim, and that's Mina Kenegan Mina. So we see that Olam Haba and Tchias HaMesim are being used interchangeably. Okay, that's not what I want to focus on right now, right? But, okay, so that's the deal, because he didn't get it right. Okay, now there's a fascinating Gemara which on the next page or two, which gives us... So, if a person comes along and says, you know, he has his Amuna about his understanding about the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he, you know, he sits there, he contemplates, and he comes up with the Rambam's five elements of Emunah in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Well, you didn't find that in the Pasuk. The Midrash doesn't say that's a problem. As long as I have my Emunah in those five elements about the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that I think about it, I realize there must be a creator, and if there's a creator, so he's unique, and he's not limited by any type of body, I come to the conclusion of all the five parts of Rambam. I'm okay. But Tchias is amazing. Has to be in a Torah. Like, why? Okay, that's the next challenge. The next challenge is the Rambam in his Yud Gimel Ikrim. The Rambam, when he develops his concept of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, he develops it on this Mishnah. Now, if you notice in the Mishnah only really touched on two of them. It touched on Termin Hashemayim and Tchias Amesim in a Torah. There's like 11 other ones that the Mishnah doesn't mention. So, like, why would, you know, I can't measure, you know, not measure, but, you know, Emunah, the actors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sounds to me like they're pretty important when you should mention it. The person says, I don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what the Elam Haba happened. No, that's okay, you know. Why Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, like, gets that status? Okay. Next page. Amalei Ahu Mina leGevia ben Pesisa. So there was this fascinating individual named Gevia ben Pesisa. Rashi says that was his name. He was not. He was like he presents himself, at least in the stories of the Gemara, being not one of the known Tamid Chachamim. He was like an average person. He happened to be very sharp. Right? And he knew his Pesukim a little bit, but he wasn't known as a Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara brings a few interactions. One of them, the Gemara says, the next one afterwards that. There is a celebration on the 24th of Nisan. Well, a celebration because the Bnei Afriki went to Alexander's Mukden. They went to Alexander the Great, and they brought them to a court case. Eretz Canaan belongs to the people. The Afriki were descendants of Canaan. It's our land. You stole our land. Please get out of our land. Sounds like a modern newspaper, right? So they went to court in front of Alexander Mukdon. So Gvi Mesisa went and represented the Jews. He said, "Rabbanu, if I win, Tzara won. If I lose, yeah, you beat an Amoritz, you know, right? So it doesn't mean anything." So that's how he presents himself. The Mor says the Mitzrayim one time tried to go make a complaint that we stole all of their Kesef and Zob. When we left, they wanted it back. So again, Gvi Mesisa was the person who went to court. Right. So, meanwhile, this min, this Sluki, says to Gvi ben Pesisa, which, you know, in time wise, just your math. So there was at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, you had Ezra, and then there was Shimon HaTzadik, and Alexander's Mukden was in the time of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik's Talmud was Antigonus, and then you already have Tzadik and Baisus. So it's Luke and Baisus, and we're very, very early on in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. So comes along this fellow who's a min. The Gvi Mem says, "Vaylachon chayyava the misum meisi chayin." You know, woe is to you chayyava. Chayyava is a Russia. So he says, woe is to you, you're a Russia, because you believe those who are dead which should come back to life. Like, now, if I'm not a stuki, Baruch Hashem, but if I mean stuki, I come to the fellow and say, you know, I'd say, you idiot, why should you believe that? I wouldn't tell you that you're not a Rasha, you're just an idiot, you're shaita, right? That's what he should have argued. Why did he call the Gviva Mesisa a Chayava, a Rasha, for believing the Mesi Chayim, that those who are dead will come back to life? He says, we see the opposite. The Chayin Maisi, those which are alive, die. The Maisi Chayin, those which are dead, should come back to life. We see that that's the opposite. The world is flowing towards people dying, not towards people coming back, coming to life. Amalei, so B.M. said back, Bailuch and Chayava, woe to you, you Russia, the Misun Maisi Lo Chayin. You say that those which are dead do not live. The Lo Havu Chayi, the Havi, Chayi Lokoshken. If something which was never existed can be brought into being and live, something which lived once, it's much easier to bring it back to life to live a second time. It's such a logical thing, right? So, you know, like, you're a Chayav. I'm like, Chayav, currently, you call me a Russia. If I want to beat the Bukhah, like Muslim, you know, Gimon sees the Rashi points out, was he had a hunchback. He says, I kick you and break and crack and straighten out your hunchback. If you can do that, you get a good job. You can straighten out people who are hunchbacks. You know, I don't know if I'm very happy today, do it. You know, so I don't know why that part of the story is in here. But the first part of the story, the chayava thing is really funny. Like, why is it chayava? So Rashi says, "Vaylachon chayava, oylachem reshoyim." That you say the chayi, we see the chayi mason. We see those which are alive die. So how can you say the opposite, that those which are dead come to life? So he said back, something which never existed before can be created and be given and come to life. So that was his answer. Fine. So the problem is, again, this is now the problem we have a little more, is why is it called the Chayava? What was the Rishus that he's claiming that we're doing? So those are the challenges. So on this last point, the next page is a piece from Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zipper of Racha. So let me give you the introduction to what I think. I'm not sure if this is what he's saying, or this is what I'm going to blame on him, or this is what I'm thinking, and I just said he's got an excuse. You know, three possibilities. There's a famous piece from Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker, I mentioned, we discussed a little like last time, or 2 times ago, I don't remember anymore. Wasn't there an Iker, right? You know, the Bar Minhag grapples with why did he call something an Iker? Everything was an Iker. Everything was important. Every word of Torah, a person has to leave every. The Mor says on this term in Shemayim, the person says everything that is from the Torah except for one letter or one Kal V'Chomer. He's Ein L'Chel L'Mahabu. So it's almost impossible to discuss Iker and Tafel. Everything is Iker. So what does it mean? This or Iker? So that's the famous piece that they say from Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker said, we discussed this last time, right? That. Imagine the example which you gave is, let's say a person is a poritz. A person is, you know, this wealthy landowner, he owns large tracts of land, etc., and he hires a manager to manage them. So it's very obvious when he hires him, he makes very clear, you know, what the role of the poritz is, what the role of the manager is, what are the responsibilities vis-a-vis the properties, what are the properties, a lot of things which are. The manager passes away, and the son takes over. Son never saw the poritz. He doesn't know what the poritz looks like. If only knows the poritz is a myth. He has no idea whether the poritz exists, doesn't exist. He's not sure which properties he's supposed to take care of. He's not sure how he's supposed to take care of them. Right? He doesn't know anything. So he said, but it's not his fault. That's true, it's not his fault, but he's still not in a relationship with the poritz. So the Rabbi Rechaim says that there are certain points that even though we have no complaint against you, it wasn't your fault, you didn't know better. But if you don't know this, if you're not, you don't have this information, you're not in the ballgame. there's certain things we said, listen, you know, person was he was a shaykh, he didn't know, it wasn't his fault, he was an oinus, tinek shenishpa, right? He was captured, he was very young, and they took him away to live with the aborigines. What do you want from the guy? Right? Never heard of Shabbos. So, right? Shabbos is very important. A person doesn't believe in Shabbos, is, you know, it's like a Barazora, you know. Yeah, he's a shaykh, he's honest, it's not his fault. But if these, you'd give him ikrim, even though it's not your fault, it's still a problem. And the way they quote Reb Chaim said, Nebuch HaBikaris is also not Bikaris. Even though it's a Nebuch, we have no titles in you, but still not Bikaris. That's what Reb Chaim says. So the way I understand Reb Chaim, back to the Moshel, is the Yud Gimel Ikrim are the definition of the relationship. If you look at the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the Yud Gimel Ikrim really are divided into three parts. There's a Sefer called Sefer Ikrim from Regressive Alba, one of the Rishonim. He says, really, he believes that you could take the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam and actually boil it down to three. One is, we believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What do we believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? We believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he's an Echad and that he has no limitations. He has Kol Yochol. All the points of the Rambam, right? The second thing is we believe Tarim and Shemayim. Well, Tarim and Shemayim means that there is a vehicle of a prophecy which exists, which allow Moshe Rabbeinu to get the Torah. So he believes in the concept of Nevuah. He believes that the Torah is immutable because that's the point of Tarim and Shemayim, because it's something which is can't be abrogated. So he believes in all those elements, and he believes that the Bershom is aware and rewards and punishes. So he believes in Tzchar Reinish. But then he says, then the Ikrim says, but I don't get what Tchias HaMesim. Like, so he doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim. So why is that an Ikrim that he's off the charts? What's so bad about not believing in Tchias HaMesim? Now the problem is, Tchias HaMesim is not the Rambam's fault. That's a Mishnah. Like, you know, I understand you want to ask on the Rambam. The Rambam came along and he made up, you know, he would have made up Tchias HaMesim on his own. I said, who said? But the Mishnah says it. Like, you know, that's the one that the Mishnah happens to say. So, the way I understand Reb Chaim is really answering that question. Let's go back a step. The Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Aleph says that we don't really understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu. A finite being cannot comprehend the infinite. There's no way we can understand anything about a Kadosh Baruch Hu really. It says, what do we know about the Kadosh Baruch Hu? And therefore, the language of the Zohar, when the Zohar refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu, refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu as Ein Sof. He's infinite. That's the only thing which the Zohar ascribes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And even that, the Nefesh HaChaim writes, even that really is not a description of Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the way we, from our finite position, envision him. So we don't really know anything about Kadosh Baruch Hu intrinsically. We know about Kadosh Baruch Hu, what he wants us to know about him. What he revealed to us through the Torah. So that's all we know about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it means, immediately, when you're talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're immediately talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu facing us. I.e. in a relationship. So if you look at the three parts of the Ikrim, you can almost say the first five are talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's role in the relationship. Like, what does he want? How does he want us to focus on him? Then, what was the message that he gave us in the relationship, which is the Torah? And then on our end, we receive the message by doing. What are we? What is our role in the relationship? This is the reward and punishment. This kind of our intention, right? So so that's what Chaim is saying. If you're not in the relationship, you're not in the relationship. Well, I didn't know. We have no titles on the son of the manager. There's no titles, you know. But the mindset, you're not part of that relationship. If you don't know that the parts exist, you don't know exactly which properties you're dealing with, you don't know what your responsibilities are, you don't know what the compensation is, you're not in the ballgame. Right? So that's really what we need to know, that the one in charge exists, and what we're supposed to know about him. We need to know exactly what he would like us to do, and we need to know what exactly is our role, and what is the compensation that's supposed to come out of it. Okay, so that's I think with Reb Chaim, that's how I would explain Reb Chaim. Now, why Tchias HaMesim? Why is Tchias HaMesim the point that we want to focus on? So you know, let's hold this piece from Moshe. Yeah, let's look at the next page. The next page is a piece from the Ramchal. So the sefer is called Maimer HaIkrim. It's actually not such a long sefer. That the Ramchal wrote a short work where he says, I would like to define, not like the Rambam's Ikrim of Amunah, but important points that you need to know about the Torah. Okay, so he says, we need to know about the Gemul. Gemul Alam Abahu, Shafim Aisav, Shaasab, Alam Azal, Kain, Tikwaloi, Madrega, Batribe of Amitis, Chiadabekas, Bayez Baruch. The true reward is being able to connect to Kosh Baruch Hu. And based on the amount you've accomplished, that's how they're going to define what that's going to be. We had a boy, lenetzach nitzachim. And you will feel that pleasure, that benefit, for forever. This reward has two stages to it. What's done is Arlam HaNashamas, what's done is Arlam HaTchiyah. I don't want to focus on Arlam HaNashamas right now, but now, v'nei, bracket it down towards the bottom. It's not fair if only the neshama gets the reward. So the body says, excuse me, you know, what about me? I also worked. Right? I also deserve to get a reward. Had not been chetz, yes, the person would continue to live forever, and as a goof and a neshama together, he would have received the reward. But Adam brought Misa to the world. You can't get to there without going through the process of Misa. There was a tumor which is brought into the body. This tomb which he absorbed through that hate of Adam Marishan, he will not allow him to be Dovak in connected on his border, which is what this reward is. So now what do we do? Okay? So the solution is we sort of get it out of him. The body dies, the body decomposes, that's removed. And then he's rebuilt. Rebuild them afterwards in a healthy way. At that point, the neshama and the goof will reunite. V'yichya, they come to life. V'yachtav yiru barakayim lenetzach, and they will then get the reward together, like they're supposed to. And they get reward based on what the original lifetime that they had. Okay. Meanwhile, while the neshama is waiting for the goof to be corrected, there's a place for the neshama to go. That's called Elam HaNeshamas. When Sega Shom me'ein mashatasek lasid lo be'achar etchia kviyam ma'isim shasas sobichaya. And meanwhile, while it's waiting, it's ready to get its reward right away. It gets to see like a sneak preview of what it's going to get in the future. That's how the Ramchal understands the concept of Tchias Amesim.
Wow.
So Tchias Amesim, he's saying really, without Tchias Amesim, you don't get the real reward. Right? Because the real reward is the body, the goof has a right to get it as well. But I'll take it a step by step. What?
What is the reward?
The real reward, which a Kosh Baruch is going to give, is the body deserves to get it as well. So the state of being, which a lot of people call it Olam Haba or Gan Eden,
right?
Where only the neshama is there, not the body. That can't be the true reward because there's somebody left out. The goof is left out.
What if the people who do not decompose?
That means that they, even they, the process of Misa itself removes for them, whatever that little bit of Zuma that they have has to be removed through Misa. So now, there's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that Antoninus, also said, on that Gemara, but it was in Hedron, Antoninus said to Rebbe, I have a great idea how to pot to everybody in the world from Din. Right? He says, person comes to Shemayim, And the Rosh Hashanah says, you know, not acceptable. So the Shlomo says, it wasn't me.
It was
the body. I mean, I've been flying around that doing all, only the right thing since the body, I left the body. It's the body's fault. So Rosh Hashanah says, no body, what are you going to say? He says, it wasn't me. I've been laying like a piece of stone since the Neshama left me. It's not my fault, it's the Neshama's fault. Leave me out of it, right? That was Atanidas' argument. So Rabbi answered like this. He says, there once was a king who had this beautiful paradise with luscious fruits, and every watchman that he hired would end up eating the fruits himself. It was really frustrating to the king. So finally he came up with, he has a great idea. He's going to get two watchmen. One of the watchmen is blind. So he doesn't see, he's not tempted by the luscious fruit because he doesn't see it.
Right.
And another watchman who has sight is lame and he can't move. Uh-huh. Oh, so he's like this, the guy can't move, can't get the fruits. The guy can't see, he's not tempted by the fruits. So, now I'm not sure exactly how they'd be watchmen, I'm not sure exactly how they're watchmen. Right, you know. So I guess the sighted guy can, you know, tell the blind man where to go in case the guy comes in, so he'll run towards him, you know. Okay. No, so they're sitting there, the blind guy and the lame guy, and the lame guy's saying, you know, these fruits are gorgeous, but I can't get to them. So the blind guy is not stupid. He says, you know, I'll tell you what, go on my shoulders, and he'll direct me where to go, and we'll get the fruit. So kaka, right? So they had the fruit. So the king comes back and says, fruit's missing. He says, what's going on? Lame guy says, it's not me, I can't walk. The blind guy says, it's not me, I can't see. The king's nobody's fool. He takes the combination of he takes the blind person, puts him on takes the lame person, puts on the blind person's back, and judges them together. Zat the Gemara, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the neshama, he zarek it back into the goof, and he judges it together. Ad kan the Gemara. So Rav Volba says in the Gemara, what's the Gemara really saying? It says, the way we are trained to think to some extent is, what am I? I am a neshama. The goof is just a piece of clothing that the neshama wears. So then the Gemara is a very good kasha. Right? That's not true. What you are is a combination of a goof and a neshama. That's what you are. That's your being. So if it's two different parts, so that each one says, listen, what's with the Femina Levin? Right? The answer is that's not true. That's not what you are. You are a combination of both of them together, and therefore I have a right to judge you. So the Ramchal is saying that till we get to that state where we've sort of put you two together, and then rewarded you, you have not been rewarded. Because you is a combination of both of them together. So it's not just the goof deserves to get something also. It's not the goof deserves to get something. You need to get it together and get it in the combo pack of the goof and the neshama together. Okay, now.
So is everyone guaranteed to chias amesa?
What?
We're all guaranteed to chias amesa. I mean,
it's a long night.
It's a long night.
I cannot promise that, but the way the Ramban understands the Gemara is the concept of kores is that you lose Elam Haba. Elam Haba means the time after Tchias Amesim, according to Ramban, and there's people through the process of kores lose Elam Haba, means they won't have Tchias Amesim. Okay. So now, let's go back to our relationship issue. Why did Rosh Hashanah create the world? What was his goal? Well, he likes to have you know, people walking around and saying he's wonderful. No. Why did Rosh Hashanah create the world? He created the world because Rosh Hashanah is a meat of Tov, and he wants to be made to. What's that Tov that the Rambam says? What's the greatest goodness that he can give? Is a human being can connect to the Creator. That's the greatest goodness that he can give. But the human being means the goof and the neshama together. So it comes out the whole purpose of the whole world is Tchias Amesim. Everything else in that picture is all to get to that point. Since the Russian wants to get to that point where the goof and the neshama, which that's you, will be the goof will be in a state where it can also connect to the Creator. The Ramchal and Tassinus, which I didn't put into the packet, I put a lot in, but I didn't put a lot in, you know. He says, one place he says, that after Tchias HaMesim, the level of Kedusha of the body will be equivalent to the level of Kedusha which we have in our Neshama nowadays. And the Neshama will be that much greater. so that that body can connect to the Creator. So that's the goal. Because that's why the Bereshit created the world. Well, if you can't have that unless the Bereshit knows and the Bereshit rewards, you can't have that unless we have a set of rules that we're supposed to know, that we're what we're supposed to do. You can't have that unless there's such a concept the Bereshit has a way to communicate to us. We can't have that unless we have a direct connection to Kadosh Baruch. You know, everything else works backwards. So the Mishnah, Tchias HaMeisim is the final goal. Everything is going to be working backwards from that. That's what the Rambam. If what Reb Chaim is saying is the point is that these 13 things are the defining the relationship, but the real point of the relationship is the last one. And the last one is only true if everything the points before it exist. So that's why the Mishnah picks on Tchias HaMeisim. Why Minatara? Because if you don't understand that this is the Minotaur is that's the Rosham's way to communicate to us the relationship. This is where he communicated to us what the story is about. So you know, I don't see it in the Torah anywhere, but I think it's a good idea. I believe in it. I wonderful. That doesn't help us. I mean, but you're still not in the relationship. Because, you know, the point is this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu communicated to us what it's all about. If I say, you know, the Bereshit never communicated what it's all about, therefore, so that can't be the definition of the relationship, he didn't communicate what it's all about. It can't be. Because it's obvious that the Poritz communicated to the manager what he wants him to do. Right? And what the compensation is. But if he never communicated what he wants to do, but I believe this compensation at the end. So you're weird. Right? So Krashi, my Lonam Lamanoso, who cares about his Amuna? It doesn't mean anything. So you have an alternate reality. There's a reality which exists of the relationship, which that's what the world is all about. And you came up and you made a fantasy land, the books of Narnia, it's not the Torah.
Yeah, but you excluded earlier Torah Shabbat or Halachim LaMoshe Misinai.
I'm not sure what the whole question is saying. Because the Mishnah more says you need remes, right? But there is no halacha Moshe Misinai, so that's theoretically that should have been enough. But you know, let's say he'd make it up to say, okay, I believe that that's how it came.
Okay.
This remez doesn't seem to define the relationship. Az Yashir, how does that?
Oh, okay. So we'll see if we can get that in. We're not going to get through this packet. Okay. So Moshe says like this. So comes along this min. He says, one second. We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu communicates to us through the Torah. The Bereshit also communicates to us through the world. The way we see that the world is functioning is because that's how the Bereshit wants things to function. So that's the Bereshit talking. And the world that I live in, things die. They don't come back to life. So I have to assume, whether I believe that people come back to life or not, that's irrelevant. But I have to assume that the message Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that this is the world where everything is important. This world is where the reward is. I have to assume. Now, maybe people will come back to life, but that's not if I see in the way the Russian runs the world that the flow of the world is from life to death, not from death to life. So that means to me that is what Bereshit is communicating to me what life is about. So how dare you? Right? Imagine he was right. So Karl Marx, right? What did Karl Marx say? He says, really, everybody has a right to get benefit from this world, but the capitalist wants to take advantage of everybody else. So he's got a problem. So he hires the priest to come along and say, listen, there's going to be this world to come, and you're going to have a lot of wonderful pleasure over there. Therefore, live through abject poverty in this world, and be deprivation and suffering, etc. Serve the capitalist, and he'll get all the money, and he'll have the good time. And, you'll look forward to this stuff in the future. Right? So that's how Karl Marx understood the problem. What religion is the opiate of the masses. It's the way to keep them quiet. and allow them to be abused by the capitalists. That's the role of religion. You know what? This vort of Karl Marx is this Suzuki screaming at Agreement Bsisa. You're Russia! Life is about this world. Because I see that the flow of the world as a people is to death, which means it ends. So that's what Russia was telling me. So it means where's the reward in this world? And you, I tell people, yeah, it's amazing, you know. So you're taking away this world from them. You're a Russia, you're a gun if you're stealing the world from them. Karl Marx is tying it. That's what the fellow was signing. Okay, so let's see this now. Visa Gemara, let's start over here on page Shin Pei Tes. Quotes the whole Gemara. Vihine. Masha min, the next paragraph. Masha min, how you carry the clay, you saw machmas, amuna, seno, betkias, amasim, lo b'shem shaitim, el b'shem reshoim. So what's shot in that? Why are we called reshoim? Go back a page. A page before the Ikrim. My Ikrim, I'm sorry, I never number them. Okay. I am so not nice. Okay. So what's it's called Rishaitin? Why Rishoyim? Mishum Shaburi is Baruch Nosim Ba'odam Das Shetefesis Mahalach Metech Nisoy. The Russian gave us the intelligence to see how, from what we see, the thing happened. They saw that it tested over, literally it means testing, but you see the flow of events and you can deduce things from that. Mishum Shadas Misbonenis Ba'olam. You look at the world. And sees the flow of some life to death. Means Abarius Baruch Maralon Bekvius but Hagazarlam. That's what the Baruch was showing us what happens. You can't Kishona Oimrim Hebek Zeh. Hare Ono Oisim as a Hebek Mimash Abarius Baruch. We're saying exactly the opposite of what the Baruch was telling us. The Baruch was telling us, this is the point. You're coming along and saying the opposite. Oivei. You're almost going against Hashem's Ratzon. So Gvim Asisa said that the Napachu, the Kim and the Chazin and Shoysim Shalahoyim Eilam Noitzim, when they love them, and they're starting from. Okay. He wasn't so denying that those they might come back to life. But what's life about? The men are turning to bury his work. Megalon and Kimon Echad. He's giving us one message. We must see the Heshel that he's born in a year. Shabbat he's broke. Megalon about Haragaz Olam. Dafat Chiasamais. Okay, so that's how he understands. So we're having this intrinsic argument of what the whole what is life about. So it means when you, if you think about it, it means that Chiasamaisim with what Ramesh is saying. Chiasamaisim is what lifts us out of into a whole new view of the world. A person who views the world from the vantage point of Tchias HaMesim, he says, that's what life is all about. Right? Looks at every moment of life with it's a hechatimsa of creating something in the future. A crude marshal, a guy goes to college. Right? So people go to college, you know, I mean, you know, there's they list the party colleges of the country, right? Right. So what's the goal of going to college? To have a good time, right? So one guy that wakes up, some point in his life. Rebbe told me that he was teaching in Eishet Torah. So this fellow came, you know, he usually chooses the guys, you know, what type of degree he had, etc. He had this weirdest degree he ever think of. So finally, like, what's this degree about? And he says the Sada Shabbat, between all my classes, the common denominator was no class took place before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how he defined his classes. So the degree he had was by combining all classes which could take place only after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That was his degree. You can imagine what you do with such a degree in life, right? But he had a good time, right? But most people understand that the goal is to go to college, is to be able to prepare for the future. So the better, more time you spend now using your time wisely, the better off you're going to be down the road. Well, if I look at lifetime, is that hekatimsa of the preparation for tzkiyas ha'maasim? It's a whole different ballgame, how I look at life. So Ramosha says earlier in this piece, he says that it's interesting, in Lashon HaKadosh, the word for zman, for time, the word zimun means preparation. In other words, the word zman, the concept of time that we live in, as opposed to tzkiyas ha'maasim, which is endless, the world that we live in is because it's a time of hazmana, of preparation. As opposed to living in a world where Ramosha has a chuva on place. He writes that in America they think it's everything's about having good time. Gimel vav dalad tas yud yud mem. Says that's not true. That's what Ramosha writes. It's a no chuva, halachic chuva. Yeah, but like, Ramosha says, and Ramosha wasn't prone to his point was how you trust to train a child, etc. It's not about having good time, Why is good time? Define a good time. Right? There's a standard use of what good time means. Well, good time means time which is used wisely. That's not what good time means. The men were saying to Rukiv and Sisa, Adarabba, I'm right. It's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die. Right? We're going to die tomorrow. You might as well have a good time today. That's what life is about. So then they're right. Good time. It's not a new story, a new conversation. Right? And he said, back, you push it, don't understand. That's the Rosh Hashikl, or with my herself. Now, there's no time to go through everything over here. I told you I had my eyes are bigger than my stomach, which is okay. I just want to maybe touch on one of a few things. Maybe I just want to show you let's go to the Das Tunas, the page, and then maybe we'll start with that one piece over there. So it's the first page of the Das Tunas. Here. I want you to understand. Kein Sofa Kavana. It's obvious that the final purpose, Vavias and the Shama Baguf, the Shetichya Oisai Bechaya Havakhele. The person took this dead being, the body, put it in the Shama and gave it life. He gave it life that he should live this world. That's really what it's all about. Right? The Shem says, the Russian would put this neshama. You look at people's lives. Some people could tell you, they had five good days in their lifetime. That the Russian created this world. I mean, he's pretty cheap. If that's what the final goal is, it's pretty sad, right? A person works their kishkas out for many, many, many years, and finally they retire. They travel the world, and they have a heart attack, and they die. That's what it's all about. He had three good days. What's it all? That doesn't make any sense. Of Iker Bia Zu, Hila Zachach, Zichach Mamish. The purpose of putting the Neshama to the goof is to purify the goof as much as possible. The final goal is to be like Malachi Shoris. It had other not been Chote, that would have taken place in one process. The Medrash brings in Parshas Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter. The Medrash, the Yaakov Shimoni brings over there that the Bershom came. Time for Moshe to die. The Rosham said to Moshe's neshama, "Biti, it's time to leave the body." And the neshama said, "I don't want to leave. I'm in such a whole, beautiful, kodeshtik body. I don't want to leave." Can you imagine that conversation? right? He's saying, and the Rosham said, "I promise you, leave. You have all this reward." He says, "No, I'm very happy where I am. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Is being in this goof of Kaddish of Moshe Rabbeinu. But even Moshe Rabbeinu had to go through the process of Misa. Chinuch and Leyo, we're beyond that. So that's one point I want to show you. Then he says, the next page, he says, the Chet was Garim, the Adam Rishon was Garim through his Chet, and then we had to go through the process of Misa. Fine.
Next question. Yeah. It's clear that the Neshama affects the Goof. Does the Goof affect the Neshama?
Yeah. That's the process of Bechira. For good or for bad, you mean?
But the Neshama is pure and perfect, right? So how does the Goof affect the Neshama?
You can sully it. You can sully it, yeah. Until the point of chorus, the neshama could be totally, it can be affected. There's a morale. The famous Gemara, you know, if you finish Hatas Makas, the Gemara says with the story with Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim were walking and they saw the shul coming out of the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you know everybody was crying and Rabbi Kiva was laughing, and the Gemara brings he tied together two different. The morale in that Gemara, the Kedusha Egonis says, what's going on over here? He said that Rabbi Kiva understood that the base of Mikdash, the Makom of Kedusha of the Mikdash, which will be rebuilt in a greater fashion, we find there is a process in this world of the decomposition which creates life, and that's called the seed. You put a seed into the ground, and as long as the seed stays fully intact, it doesn't produce anything. As the moisture gets to it and it starts to rot, that's when it germinates and creates something new. So the process of decomposition is what creates and putting a little seed into the ground produces this beautiful tree afterwards, or this beautiful plant afterwards, which is many, many times greater than it, through the process. So whatever needs to be sort of like removed from the impurity of the seed, the Ramchal says, the Morale says, that's what is happening in regard to the Mikdash. It has to go to the bottom. The two levels go together. Because only that's going to allow it, as it were, to sprout forth in a greater fashion. You know, you can almost like understand why you need to have yet a, who knows what's on the Temple Mount, right? Right, like out of all beings, like the highest rose, you know, that's I don't know, but that's our version of Shulam Hilchoboy. Right, but that's exactly what it needs to somewhat go through that process, and that's what the process of a person dying and then coming back to life is. Okay, turn to this page with Afike Mayim, page Samach Aleph. I'm not going to do the piece inside. This is also from Moshe Shapiro. He quotes over here a piece of Leshem. I actually put the Leshem inside in the packet. So for some of you, it might be the first time you're going to learn a piece of Leshem. So who was the Leshem? So Leshem is known to us. It's funny when we know the Leshem was Rabbi Yasha's grandfather, right? That's how people know the Leshem. Rabbi Yasha's grandfather. Rabbi Yosef Eliashiv, who Rabbi Yosef was named after, wrote a sefer called Leshem Shvav Achlom. But what's important about the Leshem is that the Leshem was about Baal Kabbalah. He was a phenomenal person, had a phenomenal understanding of Kabbalah. And he followed the approach of the Gra. And the Gdarlim of his, who were familiar with Kabbalah, said that he is, you know, the same way we have arguments in the world of Gemara, you have arguments in the world of Kabbalah. He's the Pesach Achron. He was the final decisor in the base medrash of the Gra of what the real pshat in the Kabbalah is. That's the level of knowledge of Kabbalah that the Leshem is ascribed to the Leshem. So he quotes a piece of the Leshem over here. So I'll see it as he quotes it. It's in the packet later on. On page, I guess it's page 26 over here towards the end, before the Mitzvah Liyov. The last, there's a few pages of Leshem there. So I'm not going to do the last page of the lesson, the three pages of the lesson, the last page. So here's the quote. He says, okay, person dies, comes back to life. Comes back to life, what does he look like? Right? Famous question. Does he come back looking like he's 97 years old? Decrepit body like that? Does he come back looking like a person died in his prime? He comes back looking like that? He comes back as a little child? What does it mean he comes back to life? What does he look like? Does he get his wife back? You know? Okay. It says like this. Let's actually start from the page before. The concept of Tchias HaMesim, the standardized understanding is Shabakhuz HaYomim Yasek HaNash Baruch Hu Pela Main Kumoy. The person is going to make this tremendous nes. V'kumo Mesim Yachzul L'chayim. People will come back to life. V'yichyu Haloh K'derek Shechayu K'derek Meshu. And they'll pick up their life where they left off. They'll continue to live as is. Okay. So the person lived to be 83. So he picks up again. He moves on. You know, next year he's 84. Right? Continues on from that point. Well, derech my official tchias amesim shall sell Eliyahu and Elisha, which is what Eliyahu and Elisha did. The body died, and they brought it back to life at that stage. And okay, it's not how it works. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. The point that he says is like this. He says, the Russian did not create anything in this world which is dysfunctional and has no function, has no purpose. A person lives through 60, 70, 80, 90 years of his lifetime. And there's a lot which doesn't seem to work right. The chumris of the body brings him to do averas, and there's things which he uses for avera purposes, and there's so the world is being used improperly. There's so much which is going wrong, as it were. So are we going to argue then that the pshat is all those things did not play a proper role in the world? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, the Russian created many things which have become as it were not purposeful. I don't sound purposeless, but not purposeful. He says the Bereshit is going to rebuild the whole world. My body is going to be rebuilt. That it should be all of those years that I lived, the years that I lived, where it was done not the proper way, and therefore all of that kedusha and chiyus that Bereshit put in the world, which was abused, will end up being be used again. In a way of kedusha, so I'm giving life back from from the beginning of my life. It's that lifetime. I'm reliving that lifetime, so I start over. So I don't only start over as a child, you know, as a baby, but as it were, he doesn't describe exactly what it looks like. But that, but the point of Tchias HaMesim, he says, it's more than just I get reward. It's a chance to make everything in the world purposeful. That there was no wasted moments in the world. He says the Russian, as it were, gets the do-over.
Second chance.
It's a second chance. So that's the point that he says. He says now, he says if you look at that, that's the pshat. And the next page he says that there's a Gemara. Rashi brings the Chumash. He says Vayitcher Lakim Esu Adam. It says the two yuds. So Chazal Darshan Yitzir Lalam Hazel Yitzir Lalam Habo means at the beginning of the creation of the person, the Russian put in us. A power of existence, which means existence will be there in the future. It's not a new thing the Russian is going to add later on. That's there within us from the first moment. Okay. Then he says, the Ramban is a fascinating thing. He says, you have to remember the fact that the Ramban learns it's a mitzvah, the rice, to remember the fact that we left Mitzrayim in the spring. So, you remember this day that you left. So, the pasuk says, the mitzvah is the rice, to remember that you left in the spring. So, why is it so important? So, the Pasuk was very nice. He took us out, and, you know, imagine you take out in the middle of the winter, like, you know, like, so much nicer, let's out in the spring. It's a chesed of Kodesh Baruch Hu. He says, no. Springtime is where we see Tchias HaMesim. We see things coming back to life again. You see this being which looks like it's totally dead, it comes to life. So it means that which you perceived as one reality is not the real reality of the item. There's a whole new reality of from Mabas to Chayim. That's what you see as Mitzrayim was for Klal Yisrael. You see as Mitzrayim was the process of giving us a whole new level of existence. You see as Mitzrayim was the precursor for Nesinas HaTorah. Like we spoke about last week, that all of the different Nisim which took place 2 weeks ago, the Nisim which took place were the Nisim which were necessary to put us onto the process to be able to accept and understand the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the message that He wants for us. All the different things which the Ikrim, like the Ramban says, that you will take out of Yisrael Mitzrayim, etc. That was what Yisrael was supposed to accomplish in Klal Yisrael. That is, in a certain sense, that was the precursor for Tchias HaMeisim. It redefined life. So it's not. I'm picking up from this point downwards. I'm redefining everything. That's what Yisrael Mitzrayim did for Klal Yisrael. That took place with Dafka in the spring, because that's what the spring does. That was so the moments which the Torah is Meram is Tchias HaMeisim is the final moment of Yisrael Mitzrayim, which is Yam Suf. That's why this is the place. It's Meram, the first place of the Torah. The Torah mentions Tchias HaMeisim is over here, because that's specifically where Klal Yisrael was able to come to that. They redefined life, and part of the final element of the redefinition is understanding the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and how everything has a role that's supposed to play. So then he suggests, based on that, he says like this. He says, "What is Shira?" You know, you use the word shear in the Chumash, in the Gemara. The Gemara says a shear is a circle.
Circle,
right?
Yeah.
The Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Gemara says you find coins that shape put in the form of a shear. Right? It says shear means it's a circle. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about a bracelet is called a shear because it's a circle. The Gemara talks about they put around a collar around an animal's neck. It refers to as a shear, right? All of those says. So, what is the connection between the idea of the word shear, which means a circle, and the word shear, which means, right? So, number one, a poem, a shear means, shira in the Torah, means poetry. The point of poetry, so we discussed this once, the Hamak Dover, the Nesiva says, the point of a poem is you find a way to say something which what you're saying is much greater than what the words actually are. As opposed to prose, where you're describing it as is, I find a way to say it, which is much, much greater, so I can say it in a few phrases and encompass a tremendous amount. Right? So that's the idea of Shira. The greatest Shira is when a circle is at the end, goes back to the beginning. Is when you come to the final end of everything, you say, you know what? I'm back all the way back to the beginning. I realize now that everything was there at the beginning. All of the future was there at the beginning. That's the greatest poetry. And the little point of the beginning, I really had everything there. And that's what Shira is. That little point, I can see a whole big picture. So Shira is the process of seeing in the everything from the vantage. So Klal Yisrael now looks back by Yam Suf. And they say, you know, now we understand everything which took place right now was all to get us to this point. We get the whole picture. But they didn't just stop there. They realize Hashem Yimelech Olam Moed, this is going to be our way to really understand the whole history of mankind. So the Shira, and that's the Shira they're going to say in the future. Because that's really the final end point. They will see how it goes back to the beginning to Yisrael Mitzrayim. So that's why this year will be the year which is going to be said in the future. I just want to say one more point, because it's just I can't. The Rabban goes through what the Mabo means and all the things. I can't do that. There's just a fascinating piece of lesson, just about the schedule. Okay. So there's three pages of lesson. It's page number one of the three pages of lesson. So you look at the bottom. They either it's number 292, 293, and then 204. So page 292. See, he says like this. He says that Tisum Asim, we picture it happens at one shot. He says it's not true. Each person has their own moment of Tisum Asim. He said, the people who have less zoom on their body, the tzaddikim, will have Tisum Asim earlier. Mashiach is going to come. And then for the first 40 years, it says it's going to be a world which is like you see, it's right, which means there's Nisim and Teva. We're still going to function like regular human beings. We're natural still, but the world is unique in many ways. That's like Nisim and Teva at the same time. That's like Yisrael. Right. That's the first 40 years. And after that, the process of Nisim Mason will start. That process will start. The people which their body is more pure to start with will have Nisim Mason. Well, so he says, now the Rambam says, and others say that everybody who lived then must go through the process of Nisim Mason, of Misa and Tachiyah. So everybody's going to die. Even after Mashiach, everybody's going to die. But who will die first? It says, the time it takes from Misa till Tchiyah, everybody has the same time, he says. Whatever the time is, a month, year, whatever the number is, 3 seconds, whatever the time is going to be. But the tzaddikim will get to go first. So they'll die, have their 5 minutes of Misa, come back to life, and now they're on the other side.
But based on what you said, they don't have to redefine themselves as much. So they don't have to because they lived a life of using this world properly.
But what he says, I would have assumed, he says, that everybody's called Zman Ichol, everybody's time of being digested, of being decomposing on the ground, which would be different. Tzadik should get a shorter time. It brings a riot from Zarya that's not true. Everybody gets up, goes down, and gets up as quickly. Wherever the time is, it's the same amount of time. But the tzaddikim, who the body is ready to get to that process, the people who are not as tzaddikim, the process of living in the state of being of Mashiach will help the process of getting them ready for Tchias Amesim. So they're going to have to live under the Mashiach state for longer, till they're ready to get to that last point. He says, and this process will take, he says, the next phase, this process will take 210 years. The plug is two opinions on how long it will take. One says 210 years, one says, right, etc. Now, there's an interesting theory based on what he says over here. Some suggest that this is all taking place, that by the time the year 6000 comes into play, everybody's ready. Now, if you do your math, 210 plus 40 is 250, right? So according to this number, when you get to the year, I'm not supposed to calculate numbers, right? But 5750, you have to have started the process of this 40-year count. So we're in Ayin Zayin. So it means that 13 years from now is when we get to the next stage, according to that math. So that's one person suggests that. I don't see that he really says that. But I can't tell you. They went through it with a fine tooth comb because he's not easy to read, right? But that would be a fascinating theory. But if you start getting involved in that, you go into the Morse says that a person who makes a calculates when Mashiach is going to come, his bone should wither. So I'm not sure I want to go there. So, okay.